Podtacular Episode 2, August 4th, 2005.
Well, hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Podtacular. This is Fumo Jive.
And I'm Spellcheck.
Spellcheck is our new co-host here, and we're kind of going to talk about that a little bit. Spellcheck, how long have you been playing Halo 2?
I've had Halo 2 since the day it came out.
No!
I started getting on live in March.
Okay, awesome. And what kind of stuff do you do best at? Like, are you particularly a sniper or a rocket guy or vehicles or what?
I'm the guy in the corner with a shotgun or a sword. Just
awesome.
Waiting to pounce on you.
Awesome, we need those. That's a good thing. Well, cool, man. Welcome to the show. Everybody, if you feel up to it, send Spellcheck an email at podtacular at gmail.com. And just say, hey, welcome to the show or something, and we're glad to have him. So let's kind of get started with some news here. It looks like we had the Halo 2 Nationals recently, right?
Yeah, and that was really exciting, except I didn't get to go.
Yeah.
I didn't know about it.
Yeah, I was kind of interested to hear about this, and yet at the same time kind of like, well, it's not like it's been the talk of the town or anything, at least not in my circles, but... I don't know what to think about that. Like, I don't know how these big contests work with everybody all together.
Yeah, I mean,
have you ever been to one of these things?
No, I haven't. All I know is that this one was it was put on by the Major League Gaming people.
Are they the ones that do the Quake ones and all that stuff?
I don't know.
I mean, it's probably been a long time since. I think they still have these Quake cons and some of these things.
Yeah, I know they do. I have no idea if there are any such, like, because I know the Counter-Strike has a big following, too.
Okay.
Like, Counter-Strike is huge. Like, there's still have, like, tournaments everywhere.
Huh. I've never gone into Counter-Strike myself.
Really?
No, my stepson used to play it all the time, and I'm sure it's good, and, I've heard all kinds of great things about it, but all the sci-fi elements of Halo just kind of drew me in, so...
It's really the only other first-person shooter that's even any decent to play on live.
I heard Rainbow Six 3 is pretty hot, too, though.
Really? I think I ought to check that out. I played the demo of it, but, yes.
Huh. Well, now they got Battlefield, was it Battlefield 2, or...
Yeah,
or
that looked amazing.
The Battlefield Xbox demo, or something
yeah.
like that. Yeah, that's supposed
Major
to be
Nelson had stuff about that on his site, the modern combat.
Awesome. If you guys don't know, Major Nelson is the Xbox Live chief for Microsoft. He has a blog that, don't know the URL, but we'll put in the show notes.
It's majornelson.com is his blog.
Okay.
And
well,
also the
easy.
Home of his he has a podcast, too.
And yeah, which is really neat. Got to hear that. Just in fact, they had an interview with one of the top guys at Bungie there. Talking about some things, which is a pretty cool interview. It's interesting to hear about some of the things they go through on a daily basis. So Halo 2 Nationals. We also have this interesting story that Spellcheck was telling me about this old grandma hardcore thing.
Hardcore grandma.
please explain so that this isn't taken some weird way.
No, of course not. She's been playing a lot recently because she had to get knee replacements done. So... She's just been kind of recuperating by getting some frags and stuff.
Who is old grandma hardcore?
Well, on her blog, it lists her name as Control Alt Delete. So I'm sure it's on here somewhere. I just haven't yet.
But isn't she like was it 68 or 69 years old?
Yeah, she's 69, I think. That's what it said on the MTV website.
So she's like the oldest known player, intense player of video games.
No, there is actually there's a whole bunch of elderly gamers. If that's the correct.
Oh, really?
MTV put out an article about old gamers and see. There's old guys that do it, and actually they have their own site. It's www.tooold. to play, and the twos are the number.
Deuce, you guys better watch out, because next time you play, you might play against some 68-year-old lady at home with her with all of her cats, and it's going to be like you got beat down by a 68-year-old.
No one wants to get beat down by Grandma.
Yeah, there you go, by old Grandma Hardcore. So she actually has a, looks like she has a blog, too.
Yes, it's,
check out.
Her blog is ogc.blogspot.com.
I think it's
which stands
OGHC.
Oh, OGHC, I'm sorry. It's Old Grandma Hardcore. So I didn't see that. Didn't say H. H's are invisible, I guess. Well, Grandma set the record for Q-Bert in 1984, and that's how she really got set on the path to gaming stardom.
Wow. Now she's a gaming superstar. And I was reading that she like beat Resident Evil 4 so many times that she has like unlimited rockets or something.
Unlimited rocket ammo.
She plays Conquer Reloaded and all this stuff. And
that game looks fun.
Yeah, that looks like a pretty wild game.
It just looks
I'll
like...
check that out sometime.
You know, better have ID ready because that game doesn't look like it's marketed for...
Yeah, that's the thing.
Well, like, but Conquer was on Diddy Kong Racing, man.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Like, Banjo from Banjo-Kazooie and... All these, like, Rareware game characters got in there. But anyways, let's get
so back
to
Halo
2. Yeah.
No, but that's cool, though. Okay, so I guess on to a couple of tips here and some pointers.
Help!
I think this is kind of like what we want to talk about for most of our show for you guys out here. Just because, and, you know, feel free to send stuff in as you get it and... you know, things that, that interest you that you think would kind of help out the community. But we kind of want to talk about some things that are, you know, cool ways to do well in the game. Because that's kind of, you know, what makes it fun. One thing I wanted to mention that not everybody knows about is that once you die, if you hold select and then keep tapping A over and over until you respawn, then you'll actually be able to cycle through seeing all of the people on your team.
How's it feel to be dead?
Which is very handy because you can see if your teammates are in trouble.
Yeah, and you can tell right where the bomb is, you can tell where the flag is.
Blue team, score.
You know, you can see who's dying, who's not.
Score!
It's super awesome. At the same time, you get the overlay of the current status of everybody and the scores right on top of that. So, highly recommend that you do that.
Also, one thing to keep in mind is your voice communication does not click off until you hear it click, because you can be dead and still be talking until it goes click. So, your teammates you can still chat with your teammates for like another second after you die.
That's interesting.
That's something to keep in mind. I don't know, they might have fixed that with the auto update, but I've always known that like if you get like assassinated, I think it pretty much clicks off right away. But if you're being shot at, like and just push the white for talk to all team or like down on D-pad whatever you use. And, like, I mean, your teammates just hear eventually go like, hey, guys, ah!
Ah!
So, but, that's so bizarre. Like, some people, like, they'll just, like, click on it, and they don't even know, and they're like, oh, no. And you hear, like, why is people screaming over the headset?
Yeah, really. And speaking of the white button, use that white button, man, when you're anywhere where there might be other, anywhere crucial, like especially if you're in the base or anything like that, and it's a objective game, use that white button because you never know when someone's gonna someone from their team is sneaking right around the corner, and they're like, oh, hey, how nice, someone's close by. Let me sneak up on them and hit them.
I don't do a lot of just I don't camp very often. Mainly do that for Halo 1. I'm like just waiting in the base or in the ladders of Sidewinder, but everyone did that.
Okay, so I guess moving on to some other things here. Another thing I had that may be, you know, pretty basic for some people, but when you have rockets and you're firing on someone that's at the same level that you are, like, if, for instance, if you're on the second floor and so are they, jump first and then fire down so that you have both more a chance for getting an accurate hit because there's, like, splash damage from the rocket, and also you're going to get reduced damage on yourself because you're farther away from the bomb because you're jumped.
That really hurt.
So
that's right.
That may seem obvious to most of us, but maybe some people don't know that. So, anyway, same kind of goes for grenades. If you jump and throw down, you get better chance of, you know, getting closer to someone. Let's see. So another thing, speaking of jumping, is jumping from above and meleeing down. That was part of the auto update that a lot of people don't use very much. But with any weapon, if you jump from a little ways above and melee down, you can, you know, you can take someone out with one hit, which is kind of cool because even if they're not, you know, facing their back to you. So it's also kind of good for, dang it, what was that map we're going to talk about in a minute?
Ship.
No, the other one.
The
turret one? Yeah, Ascension. I'm so horrible with the map names. Ascension, if you're trying to guard that sniper tower, that one that's kind of a ramp that goes up to the sniper tower, if you're trying to guard the sniper in there, and people come up around the sides, you can just jump down from that ramp and melee him down and, you know, take him right out. So then you don't have to deal with a big firefight right there. So, okay, so I think I just had one more thing on some general tips, and that's to, some people might not know this either, is when you're getting fired at, you know, you can kind of strafe back and forth to keep erratically to kind of limit damage. And this is another one that may seem obvious, but I mean, if you just erratically go left, right, you know, while someone's firing at you, there's much less of a chance of them hitting you.
If you shoot back, they might stop shooting.
That's kind of a good idea too, especially if you can knock it.
Sometimes.
Especially if you can knock a sniper out of zoom or something like that.
Oh, no, I love no-scoping. It's a good talent.
Oh, man, I wish. I suck so bad at sniping, I can't snipe with a darn.
Me neither. I just get lucky sometimes.
You're like, I
look,
love
you
no-scoping.
Right where I shot, it's amazing.
Like, yes,
I couldn't no-scope if I had to.
Oh, yeah.
Unless I was no-scoping someone who was just, like, lagging out and just totally not even moving at all. Look, I no-scoped him, so... He'd been out of the game for 10 minutes.
Yeah, really, he's just standing there. It's so funny going up to those guys like, hello.
I know.
That reminds me,
some people like, we'll have to do chores and stuff, but, you know, otherwise, it's just, where did he go?
Yeah. I saw this video once that this guy literally fell asleep and was snoring, like, really loud into his mic.
Yeah,
it was so funny.
That's the way to do it.
And everybody was, like, making fun of him and stuff, and they found this guy, and they told the whole game about it. And then they, you know, they're playing all these tricks on him, like they plant a bunch of grenades at his feet and then throw a live one in there and he'd go flying way up through the ceiling and it's pretty awesome.
Was it
he'd, like, melee
a
him
custom
into the
game?
And, I think it was a match-made game, I'm not sure. But it's hard to say, but either way, everybody found out about it and then they were, on the video, they were all messing with that guy and just getting close to him to listen to him snore because he was snoring so loud.
That is sad.
What yeah, that's
sad
pretty funny.
Sad little man.
But, well, you're talking about midship, and we kind of have some specific strategies for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, let me, here's some of the stuff that, that you find that works well in midship.
Well, I find that if you float those little things, you get shot at. So don't jump in the little, levitation beams that hold up the platform.
Uh-huh.
It just increases your chances of being seen very well, which is quite obvious. It's pretty dumb. Also, one of the first things you want to do is either go for the sword or go for the shotgun. That's usually, it's usually like either behind one of the things or in the middle. And the thing is, it's a assault rifle in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you need to be careful is that it's the jumping. A lot of people have trouble with that, getting jumping on, like, bouncing off the bottom of the floating device and trying to get on top of the place the sword is, and the thing is, you have to jump and, like, it's like you jump and then when you, like, land, it'll push you up a little more and then jump at the top of that thing and then you'll make it. Otherwise, you're just going to keep jumping until you get shot at and die. So
I don't know. You're talking about jumping and using the lifter things.
The purple thing the lifters are holding up.
Yeah.
Like, the very top level where the sword is, like, a lot of people, like, this.
Oh, you mean they jump
just,
up
they just,
where the sword
just,
is, right?
You try and
miss
a regular
it.
Jump, and you can't do it. You have to, like, take a bounce from it and get up there.
Okay, or you can just jump crouch. Usually,
yeah,
that's,
crouch jumping works, too. I've seen that done, but just I find that's the easiest way for me. I get less assassinations while doing that, because I don't get, like, what's he doing?
That's a really good... That's a really good point, though, actually, in just that, you know, people often miss that the first time and stuff if they don't know about crash jump, and you get up there to grab the sword, and then, you know, someone's right behind him, and then see you later. So, yeah, that's a good thing to watch out for.
Which brings me to another thing. How come the sword doesn't become invisible whenever you are invisible? I mean, that makes sense, I know, but it's just like...
Yeah, all the other weapons are invisible, aren't they?
No, the plasma stuff still lights up, too. The sides of the plasma
guns. Too weird. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of scientific terminology that explains that, but I don't know.
How come the metal becomes invisible, but
it's because of the neutrons and the, you know, the
it's because of the really boring science stuff behind it, is why.
Pretty much, I guess.
It has something to do with peaches, I presume.
I think so, yeah.
And like, the structure of peaches has something to do with why it glows, I don't know.
That must be it.
That's why I'm still in high school, I guess.
Yeah, keep studying, buddy. Keep working on it. You'll get there eventually. But
they really don't have video game physics offered yet, so I'm still waiting so for to take a class in ragdoll physics.
Well, you're kind of improvising, I see.
Maybe next year. Almost. Cool if a high school had ragdoll physics offered as a class.
That would be pretty interesting, yeah.
See, you take the tank, and you shoot the body, and it just flies around like crazy. It's called Ragdoll.
Alright, take a break for the day, and see you guys tomorrow. Be sure to do your homework. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, so some of the stuff I had on midship, too, is like, was a lot of times I'll dual wield on midship and just get as many grenades at the same time.
It's really small quarters. You need to do as many grenades as possible.
I keep that in mind, but then, you know, the thing is with grenades, a lot of times you can just drop a gun and throw a grenade and, you know, jump up and hopefully you'll have enough time to kind of regroup after you throw that grenade to start firing again.
Yeah.
But a lot of times if you get into one of the bases, hide in the corner right where one of those guns is and wait for a red dot to show up and crouch down, then you can just catch those guys coming around that corner, coming right up that ramp into the base. And you can catch them unawares almost every time.
Double kill.
Even if they know you're coming, then you can, you know, jump around the corner, hawk a grenade down there, and then just start firing. And then you got them pinned. You got the grenade on the backside of them, and then you got you firing on the other side.
Triple kill.
So you're probably going to hit a pretty good amount of damage.
Also, like, one thing that I think is only at midship is on the two sides opposite to the bases, there's, like, the two sides for the ramps up to the top part. There's like a little like it's like a it's not like the rolling blast cores they have in Zanzibar and some other levels, but mm-hmm. it's like a covenant thing. It's like a box
the exploding.
Thing. Yeah, if you just toss a blast grenade on that, and you're gonna have a much bigger explosion. It's like you like someone just walks in there and they see that oh my gosh boom and then everyone in that room is just dead.
Kill-tacular.
That is a good idea. I don't think I'd use that at all.
I think there's ones on the two. There's ones on the lower levels. By mm-hmm. the carbines.
Oh yeah, they're on the upper levels too.
On the upper levels too.
Okay.
And the ones on the upper levels are the ones that, like in the tiny corners.
Mm-hmm.
Like that you just get in that little corner and then like you can jump in at the higher level also.
Hmm.
They're great places to just throw a plasma grenade, just have it stick on there, and then like just run.
Sweet.
Because it's great if like you just like, throw one of the ones that are in a corner and they're elevated. So you can just throw up there, and the flag person just walks by, and they just get decimated.
Flag returned.
That's a good idea. That's good, especially if someone's chasing you. So that's pretty cool. Another thing I do is hit that elevator to go up.
Get your shiny green posterior on this elevator.
In the into the top floor of the base, and yeah. A lot of people, if you practice it a little bit, you can get good at. As soon as you go up there, you know there's probably going to be someone up there. A lot of times. And they've seen your red dot, so they're waiting for you to drop down. As you're flying up, they're going to be firing at you. Just drop a grenade and keep trying to throw grenades and stick them. And a lot of people, they can get up there, and as soon as they jump up, they know where you're going to be, and they just throw a grenade and stick you right there.
Yeah, I know.
And so if you can get good at that...
You just got to train this to maybe just, like, jump up and, like, just make sure you just turn around real fast. And watch those two key locations that are just right behind the, like those like corners where if you're looking into the base you can't see them because there's like the rounded edges of the base, but that's where they hide and that's where the weapons spawn.
Exactly. Speaking of those kind of key location things and stuff, One thing you can also do is you don't have to go up those ramps to go around into the base. You can actually jump on around the front of the base. There's these tiny platforms that can bring you around to the that open window in the front of the base, and you can walk right in there. You can also jump from where the sword is and jump all the way across to that same spot and go straight down the middle and grab the flag or plant the bomb or whatever it is. But, you know, just like anything, you always want to, if you're either going for a flag grab or a bomb plant, unless you're trying to sneak in and out, you want to get as many people with you as possible, right?
Yeah. Well, and another thing, if you're really good at throwing grenades, you can be standing in one base, and if you get the angle just right, you can throw it all the way over the floating purple thing and get it in the other base. So if you, it's a good way to either clear a base, kind of, and get some people to, like, what's going on. And you know, like, mm-hmm. or just get some smoke in there, which, like, the smoke and the frag grenade really can cover up, and you can get past something if you can't see.
That's a really good, yeah, that does make a lot of difference, actually. A lot of, especially if you're at game range, and you just throw it between yourself and the other person, and you're trying to, you know, get close enough to get a pretty close range shot, that smoke will really make it difficult for them to see you, especially if they're zooming in or something like that. I don't know, I find that anyway. So, okay, so I guess that's kind of our midship tips for this episode, but there's so many that we'll probably revisit that sometime, because it can just go on and on, really. So, okay, so I guess I got a couple of big team tips, and then we'll move on to some more stuff here. These are more, actually, objective tips of pretty much any kind, but one thing is that there's generally two ways to two basic ways to drop a bomb in an assault, and it's either to send an entire fortified team in, you know, in pretty much a cluster or pretty close by to each other, or to sneak the bomb in, and the way generally that's done is for most or all of the other people to go in one direction, and then the bomber to sneak in and crouch walk into the rest of the direction, right? So, well, I find
I've seen
either of those.
It really just depends on the other team, if they're really very, if they're intelligent, or if they're like, because like some people, like, then you don't even really regard the radar anymore, because in Halo 1, that radar showed you everything.
Yeah, huh?
So it said 15 meters, but they were like 15 miles, because you can see them, like, and they can be like way far away from you.
Mm-hmm.
So this
mm-hmm.
one, they showed you like what's only like really close. So you can just be crouch walking, and they'll never even see you.
Yeah.
So like people like they don't even go out there like a relic. It works either way. You can either send that one guy in with the bomb, or you can take the warthog and hope you can beat the guy to the rockets and just trying to rush in with all four guys.
And that's a good idea. A lot of times that reminds me, is a lot of times with the bomb, you want to just make a mad rush for the bomb spot, because they're so busy, they're like, okay, we gotta get the perfect weapons, we gotta get the perfect snipe spots, we gotta get the perfect this, that, and the other, and they got one or two guys guarding the base, if that. Sometimes nobody. And you can actually take the bomb right in there and plant it if you're fast,
if you're
because
fast.
They're so busy getting their stuff together.
If you
so
don't
that's
go after the rockets, or if, like, if there's a Banshee available, you need that. I think that's mainly turned off for most of the games. I played a big team battle once.
Yeah,
we had it on, and I was like, "That's not right. You shouldn't have that." But I think Quag always has it on.
So. Yeah, usually. Yeah, they have. But like, sometimes Banshee has too much of a tactical advantage on stuff. But
well, also like if you're doing Quag and you have that bomb, you just get in and you drop right down. If
yeah.
they let you get in, and they don't see it coming.
Yeah, you know what else too is that I've had this happen a couple times when you drop in with the bomb. A guy comes up on you, he thinks he's got you, you know, he's like, you're not going anywhere. Yeah, and then you just beat him down with a bomb, because you can actually, you can hit strike and then strike again really quick with
yes.
the bomb. So that's something to do, is when you strike someone with the bomb, keep tapping that, I think it's B, mm-hmm. to keep meleeing, because you can hit people really quick and take them out much long before they can get you. So
yeah, well, in the custom settings, like if you're doing a custom game, it's kind of hard to tell, because the bomb can either be really damaging or can be really weak. So you might just like try and see if you can get around him and just hit him in the back, because you know that.
Yeah.
Because even if he has an overshield, right out,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, huh? Because you can hit him so, especially if you hit him in the back. But yeah, because you can hit him so much faster between hits, mm-hmm. and plus you can lunge forward too. Some people forget about that. Is that when you strike in a melee, even if you don't have the sword, you do lunge forward. So that works really well as well because you can cover a little bit of extra ground, and sometimes the guy doesn't expect it. So okay, so I guess I'll kind of cover maybe one or two more things, and then move on to the next deal. Let's see here. Oh, there's this awesome thing on coagulation that I've only seen used once or twice, and it's kind of a basic strategy, but it's just it takes some people to get together, and that's the hard part in big team battle. Unless you have a party going in there and they're willing to work together,
no one wants to work together. Everyone's just like boots and quits.
Exactly, and people just run out for themselves, and you're like, hey, wait up, and nothing happens. One thing I do in that case, if I just cannot get anyone to work together, then I'll pick a guy and just get up right next to him the whole time, just so that we can combine our firepower and at least be more powerful in what we're doing. Because generally, if it's an objective game, he's going to go for the bomb of the flag or whatever it is. So I might as well just be with someone so that we can both kind of combine our firepower.
Exactly.
So that works well. And I was going to mention in coagulation, in capture the flag specifically, what you can do is you park a Jeep, a Warthog, right at the exit of the warp zone. I call it the warp zone, the transporter. And then, you know, you get a couple guys, two guys to climb on top of their base. One guy jumps down, grabs the flag. Everybody's going to come out shooting, firing at you. Jump and throw the flag up to the guy above you. That guy grabs the flag, goes through the transporter, ends up right at the Jeep. A driver's there and drives it right back to the base. I mean, you know, you may have already heard of this before, but it's just, it never gets done because of the cohesiveness problem.
Well, in the original Halo at Beaver Creek, it had the hole in the base, and you could just jump right out of it. And it made CTF so easy.
Because you could just jump right in the back and take the transporter.
Was it red team or blue team? I can't remember. I think it's at the blue base, but anyone could benefit from it.
Hmm.
It was an event rating, but it took a little bit of practice to get it.
But still, you
can use those holes on that base for grenades, mm-hmm. and dropping it makes a huge impact. About how you'd be surprised about how much more you can do because they don't see you coming.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, that's definitely a good way to do it. And a lot of people will sneak in through the top and then just drop in to bomb it or whatever. But as far as, like, getting the flag back out, that's, I think, what people have the most trouble with, because they try to drive a Jeep in there, jump up, the Jeep gets blown up, they lose the flag, and it's just start over with no Jeep. And, if you can try a little bit of, a little different tactics, it can really make a big difference, so.
Of course.
Anyway, moving on to some other stuff, we were talking about jumping and some of the cool stuff you can do with jumping, and I think kind of the first thing that comes to mind at jumping is the super jumping technique, which I think we've kind of all seen or heard of. Can you explain a little bit about this, Spellcheck?
Well, I'm not a big expert on it, but let's see. I do know someone who is, and that's my brother, or Superman, and he's going to explain a little more about it. Cause he can do about 20 or 30 of them. So,
jeez.
Well, here he is.
Hey, Superman, what's going on?
Alright.
So what is super jumping? Please explain.
Okay, what you do is, you find a certain spot to crouch and a certain spot to jump to or from, and you fly really, really, extremely high in the air.
Okay. And how is this useful?
There's some super bounces that you can get on top of levels, on top of, Zanzibar, you can get on top of the wheel,
mm-hmm.
or the fan, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. You can actually get on top of levels and stuff, grab a sniper or something, get on top.
Okay. And, so it's good for sniping?
Yeah.
Okay. And has the capability to do this, has it changed at all since the auto updates?
No, it has not. Bungie put these into the game, and it's not cheating. You can definitely do it on Xbox Live without getting in trouble. They had a discussion about that on Bungie.net. It's not cheating, it's perfectly literal. You can't get in trouble for it. And no, the auto updates haven't changed it at all.
Okay. So this is something that anybody on any team can do without needing hacked content or without an unfair advantage necessarily, right?
Right, except for there's a barrier jump, and some people call it super jump. It's not quite, but you have to have host in order to do that.
But what I'm saying is like, let's say you super jump, and then I'm in the opposite team. I could actually super jump after you,
and then
try to take you out if I had enough skill to do so, right?
Yes.
Okay, so in that case, it seems to me like it's not necessarily cheating, but you guys may think one way or the other, you know, think however you want to do that. I think kind of the jury's still out on this one. I'm not quite sure myself whether to call it cheating or not, but it is, you know, a lot of people use it, especially for sniping, right?
Yeah, well, not really, and if you go to custom games, it does happen quite a bit. Not really.
But not nearly as much in matchmaking?
No.
Okay. I haven't seen it necessarily that much, especially since the auto updates. I think because people don't realize that it's still available, that there's, especially that there's tons of places to do it in, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the more helpful ones? Like, I know there's ones that are like cool and all, but what are some of the ones that are actually get you a really good snipe spot?
Oh, the Zanzibar, you can get on top of the on the roof of the base. You can get it on top of the wheel at Zanzibar. On lockout, you can get on top of the sniper tower. And you can get on top of the warp tower, where the blue elevator warp thing is. You can get on top of that. And most of these super bounces, they aren't useful unless you can get a clean headshot, or else they'll find out where you're at. And once they find out where you're at, you can't really do much, because that's all it is, another place to hide.
So you got to be a really good sniper to even make any use of it.
Yeah, it's not really good. You are above everyone else in the map. And people don't normally look at the sky when they play.
Okay, so even if you're a okay sniper, you can still do pretty well.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Well, awesome. Thanks, Superman. Thanks for kind of explaining that to us. Maybe we'll kind of get into some other stuff later in later shows about more details on some of those some of the ways to do that. So, all right, awesome.
Here's my brother.
Okay, appreciate it.
All right.
So well, that's.
I'm over on the Bungie forums right now, and apparently the European and Japanese players who play on live, if they're using the PAL TV standard, you cannot super bounce apparently, and a lot of people are getting mad. In fact, one guy said it's not cheating; it's just lame to do, and I agree with there.
That makes sense, and that's kind of like it's still exploiting a bug. Kind of like dummying was and some of these other things that have kind of gone by the wayside with the updates. So to that extent, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to not say it's cheating. So I don't know.
Maybe they'll have that fixed with Halo 3.
That would be nice. that would definitely be nice. Looking forward to Halo 3 someday. But you had a custom game you wanted to talk about, right?
Tower of Power. Sometimes it's called defense too, so I'm not just gonna say it's that.
So doesn't this have like a bunch of different names?
Yeah, it's called like just Tower or Defense or Tower of Power. The whole concept of the game is it's two teams, usually red versus blue, you just take advantage of the turret.
Okay. Is it a specific map?
Always hold it at Ascension. It's, if you do it anywhere else, then you're like breaking the law. it's wrong. You have to do it there.
So you place one turret, right?
One turret.
Okay.
Well, there's only one turret there, and it's at the main cyber tower, the big giant one that like, has the spiral swirls that lead up on the sides. And
okay, so the one that's the reason they call it Ascension. Cool. So, like, how does a game, like, what makes Tower of Power different than other custom Slayer games and stuff, or Team Slayer, I should say.
Well, the game falls in the category of Slayer, obviously, because it's a match, but like most people play either 250 or unlimited for this, which means...
250 kills?
250 kills.
Wow.
Or unlimited. And actually, one day me and Superman were on Xbox, and he joined a game with... I guess they were just trying to see how far unlimited would go. I've heard it's 32,000. There's 30,000?
30,000.
There was a game with 16,000 points, and wow. They were losing.
Man.
Isn't that sad? They're getting beat by 2,000, and let me tell you, you're getting beat by 2,000 points, that's not going to be an easy comeback.
Yeah, really, you better do a lot of work to catch up on
but,
that.
But in all, it was really easy to kill. It was like the SWAT games, like no shields, so it just takes one, all it takes is either one shotgun or like two battle rifle shots, and you're gone.
Mm-hmm. Man. I've actually played this Tower of Power game once quite a while ago. I don't know if it was called this. It was probably something different, but it was so much fun because it's the turret is everything.
Mm-hmm.
You spawn somewhere in the open field, and there's a guy in the turret on the and it's Team Slayer. So you got one of the teams has control of the turret just because they get there first. And then they have a whole bunch of guys up there just kind of making sure nobody takes them out. Mm-hmm. And then everybody is trying to get up into that tower to take out the turret because
and
that turret is taking
everyone. One guy can take out everyone. That's all you need. Because the game is set up with no shields. No shields and just shotguns. So
I don't think I've played it that way, actually.
Really? That type, like, some people do it with grenades, and I think grenades makes it a little too cheap.
Yeah, because then you can just huck grenades right
up.
Really, yeah,
and you can take the grenades, get them up there, and you just destroy that turret. And then you're like, what are we going to do now? There's no advantage now.
Yeah.
But usually, you know, with any large party game, after a while, people say, I'm going to join the pink team. And you're like, oh, gosh. I'm going to join the brown team. I'm going to beat you all, even though you have 199 points and I have 3.
I hate when they do that, man. I hate when some people refuse to be on one team or another. It's come on.
I'm not giving you a team with him. Okay, then go shoot yourself, please.
Yeah, fine. Just be in your own team. Just lose.
Please. If it means you'll keep playing, go ahead, then.
Yeah, really? Yeah, but... Okay, so that's definitely an awesome custom game. We're going to cover... There's so many custom games that we will have a new one each week.
Zombies and all those other ones. There's just some really cool ones out there that either
Predators,
are hard
one of the
to
ones
find.
I play that I want
to
cover. And,
it's hard to find a good Juggernaut game, though. You know, there needs to be more Juggernaut games. I like Juggernaut.
You know, it's funny that on the Major Nelson podcast, they were actually talking about possibly putting a Juggernaut game type in matchmaking.
Awesome!
I think it was more speculative. Like, it was the Bungie guy that was saying... If the community wanted more Juggernaut games, for instance, then we would.
I am the community.
So. Yeah.
Spellcheck
wants
is
it, so.
Is the community. Community.
Community.
I can't
so
spell,
Bungie,
I
if
can't
you're listening.
Talk. Can't do anything today.
You need talk check.
I need voice check.
So, Bungie, if you're listening, that'd be an awesome game.
We'd
type.
Like that.
And the community says, go for it.
I am the community. I'm high charity also. I hate that level.
Oh, wow. You're pretty good in the universe.
I am the prophet of regret.
Wow.
And regret. You will not regret putting Juggernaut into a game type.
So do it. It'll be good. Everybody will be happy. So, hey, that kind of covers what we had to talk about this one. We also wanted to mention that we also got a lot of feedback for the last podcast. Lots of good stuff. Things from looks like Jimmy Norton here. Kind of shout out to him.
Go Jimmy! Woo!
And I believe Audio Revolver was another one. And you know, a bunch of different guys. I wish I had the list in front of me of everyone, but you know, got plenty of friends request messages on there, and emails and comments on the blog and lots of stuff. So hey, keep it coming, guys. Keep the feedback coming and. Always look forward to hearing how you think we're doing on this, and if it's helping you guys out. Also, if you do have any like stories, news, custom games, strategies, things like that, hey, email right over to us. You know, send it send it in text or just even record it with your computer and just send us an MP3 and we'll put it on the show, man. Be a superstar. superstar. So another thing is we were talking about a thing last time on gamer tags of cheaters. I mean, I know cheating has gone almost to nil for now, and eventually it'll come back when someone figures out another way to do it.
Oh, of course.
But hey,
it always will.
Yeah, really. These guys are just constantly. They were saying on Major Nelson once again that it's kind of like those guys are sitting there looking for cracks in the game. As soon as they find one, they just take the jackhammer to it over and over until they find ways through it.
Well, actually, on Halo, not Halo, Xbox365.com, apparently. Someone posted a video of cheaters hacking Bungie's database and deleting their negative feedback.
Oh my gosh.
How far are you going to go to do that?
That is...
He said I was screaming!
That's ridiculous, man. I can't believe they do that crap.
That is terrible.
I heard people could, in the past... that they had the capability to unban themselves as
yeah,
well when they were banned.
They fixed that one.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because these guys tick me off, man. When they're cheating like that anyway. So if you do run into cheaters, write down their gamer tag, and after you leave feedback and all that stuff, just email it to us later. Email us their gamer tag. We will put it out on here and encourage everyone to send them a nice friend request, but with the voice on it, just record yourself screaming at the top of your lungs so they have to throw their mic off.
Yeah, and do it with the voice modulation on. Nothing's more annoying than voice modulation in Halo 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like, send them a clan invite and then, like, leave the clan and go, ha! I tricked you!
Send you to
a that really wasn't that funny, was it? That was kind of dumb.
No, but I don't know if you can send... Can you send clan invites when you're not friends?
I don't know. I think... No, you have to be a fan, friend, don't you?
Rest.
Wait till they accept your friend request, and then... Ha! Sent you a friend invite to a clan. I'm not in a clan anymore. So...
There you go.
I tricked you! Okay, I'm just getting crazy now.
Yeah, send him a virtual rubber chicken.
Look, I stuck you in a message!
That reminds me of that whole thing of the creative names. Like, you got beat down by a 3-year-old, and you got beat down by
stuff. I'm friends with a sticky note. So, next time you get stuck by a sticky note, you know that, yeah. Oh, man, you got... Well, at least you're not, like, there's some creative ones, like a goat. But there's also some bad ones, and that's why we report them.
Yes, we do. And guess what? You're not fooling anyone when you spell it slightly differently. I mean,
or
come on.
Or use delete speak numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, people.
We know I mean, threes and E.
Maybe a computer can't figure it out, but guess what? You got people playing. And,
we can read.
And so can the 6-year-olds on there. They're like, Mommy, what's that? So
what's even worse is the 6-year-olds that cuss.
Yes, exactly. You know, that's what's funny is, like, we're trying to protect the 6-year-olds, and they're the ones that are making the most trouble.
Yeah, I know. They cuss more than anyone else.
I know, man. Because they hear everybody else cussing, they're like, cool.
Yes.
So, cut it out, you guys.
Yeah, stop!
Or we'll send you clan invites with no clan.
Or we'll send you clan invites to someone with dumb names like the Dumb Guys.
So clever. Dumb guys. Awesome, man. Dumb guys. That would get them.
No, you can have spaces in your clan name, can't you?
I think so. You just can't have exclamation points and stuff
no
like that.
No exclamation points, no thumbs up, and no modded things where you have, like, the stuck symbol in there. Can't do that.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I think that covers it, guys. We are out of here. As usual, email us with any feedback at podtacular@gmail.com.
Podtacular. Sorry. I couldn't contain it. I've been wanting to say it.
Sometime we gotta really do the nice deep voice version of that. Podtacular.
Yeah, I keep it.
Okay, that's lame. Obviously, my voice is not deep enough for my mic.
Someday I'll get it to where it sounds like it. Someday.
Yeah. Keep working on that deep voice.
I'll keep working.
All right, you guys. I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm Spellcheck.
And we will see you next time.
Game over.